Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
You're listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome, everybody. It's episode 38 of the Geocaching Podcast. Tonight, we have our contest has ended. The contest that we had was to call in and give us your tips and tricks, and you'll be entered into the contest to win a geocoin, the Mego Fall geocoin, in fact. So that's the contest is done, but we are going to go ahead and play all of the audio that came into our phone line. But first, I want to remind everybody tonight we are live, as we always are. So if you want to call in, give us a call at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. And you can also go to our show notes and geocachingpodcast.info, and that's where you'll find all of our show notes and all that good stuff like that. But first, I want to welcome back as my co-host today. We have Monty Ryder with us. Monty, how's it going? What you been up to since the last time we talked?
Not too much. During the week, of course, working as always. Saturday, though, did a little bit of caching. Went after two different caches. Found one, and second one, I don't quite think I'd call it a DNF. It was more of a CNGT. Could not get to. I wasn't quite dressed properly for it, and this thing was surrounded by very, very thorny vines. So I just said, fooey with it. I'll come back when I'm wearing the jeans instead of the shorts. And then then Sunday we worked as my wife and I volunteered staff as on a bike-a-thon that our youth group was doing. And while we were at it, I also got three of my caches repaired that had been destroyed in the local wildfires we had here.
Well, that's a good thing. I'm glad that you guys took care of your caches.
What you been up to?
Not a whole lot. I've not really been doing any caching. It's as we were talking on our pre-show here, it's snowing here and it's frigid, and I just really haven't got out to cache much at all. I do want to hit a couple more before the winter, though, because that'll put me up at 200 finds for ourselves. So I want to do that definitely before the winter, but I didn't get the chance to get out. But I did notice that the GeoCoin Fest for 2008, they've been listed on the geocaching website for Pittsburgh. It's GC17H2A, and October 12th is going to be in Washington. So those are a couple things that I have noticed. So that's about it going on with me here. But so I guess we're going to move on to our topic, because I don't have, I guess geocaching wise, it's been a slow week for me. It's been stressful at work. Lots of things in our computer room happening, so I really haven't had a chance to do geocaching either. So with that, I want to say sit back, relax, guys. I'm going to play the audio here from all the people who had called into our contest, and then after that, I'm going to announce the winner from the podcast, or from the contest. And you, the winner will have 2 weeks to contact me via email, and I'll give that email out into the show with their address so I can mail it out to them. If they don't contact us within 2 weeks, we'll do this again and we'll redraw. So sit back. Here's the audio.
Hi, XFuckX. This is Jimmy Anderson, also known as Jimmy Logan on Twitter. I have a tip, not really anything fancy, just more of a simple get-back-to-basics tip. Sometimes when it's been a while since we've been caching, we have to remind ourselves to use our GPS properly. And what I mean by that is, we all have a tendency to follow the GPS, to follow the arrow, and try to walk to where the geocache is. We have to remind ourselves sometimes to back up and get 30, 40 feet away, make sure we've got good cover, or good open, rather, if the geocache is under heavy tree cover or in between buildings. And we just back up and take it from a long distance and pick out where we need to go. And when we do get close, if we're having trouble finding it, we'll back up and make a 10-foot circle around it. We'll follow the GPS so that the arrow is pointing at 9 o'clock at 10 to 12 feet. and then move to where it's pointing at 9 o'clock at 10, 12 feet from a different direction. And keep doing that until we've made a circle around it to help pinpoint it. Thanks.
Hey, Geocaching Podcast listeners. This is Montu Ryder from Newport Richey, Florida. My tips and tricks for the contest would have to be walking sticks. We picked up these from Walmart, very cheap, $10 a piece. They are aluminum poles, collapsible. The reason I like these so much is several points. One, safety. When you get poking around in the bushes trying to find that ammo can, much safer to stick the pole in there, tap around until you hear the familiar sound of the ammo can or the Tupperware, whatever it is you're looking for, rather than sticking your arm in there and risking getting bit. Also, it helps when walking through some of the uneven terrain. Having that third leg just does help for the support. And that's my tips and tricks. Have a great day.
Hi, my name is Pat from Team Us. And the most important thing I need to remember while caching, my tip is to keep some wet wipes or some Kleenexes in my pocket. Because if I need to piddle and squat out in the field, then I need something handy because I'm not going to sit there and drip all day. Thanks. And I hope everybody can use the tip. Bye.
Hi, this is Vanessa Anderson, also known as Bashful on geocaching.com. Just a quick tip. And an inexpensive hiking stick, what we've done is gone to the local thrift stores and you can usually buy golf clubs there for about $1, cut the head off of them, put a little bit of a tip to it, makes a really good inexpensive hiking stick and very durable. Thank you.
Hi, this is Jodster from Newport Richey. And my tip or trick is to use my hubby. He is the best thing in the world because I am disabled and he makes things a whole lot easier for me. So he's the best tip or trick I've got. Have a nice day and happy caching.
Hello, Geocaching Podcast. This is Chris. Geocaching username is CKDad1. And my tip is I was using Mobi Pocket Reader on my Dell Axum until they got rid of that for paperless caching. And the solution I have found that seems to work pretty good and was really easy to get started with is a program that you can access from geocaching.com where you have all the other software programs and stuff. It's called GPX Sonar. I haven't heard many people talking about it, but it's a pretty good program. I'm considering, since I just bought a new GPS, bought the Garmin GPS CSX, I guess it is. I'm considering switching over to GSAC and maybe looking at CacheMate, since I know somebody else that's using that, may shorten the learning curve. But until that time, GPX Sonar seems to be a pretty good program if you're still struggling with finding something to help you go paperless in the absence of the Mobi Pocket Reader. Thanks. I enjoy your show. And have a great day.
I wanted to call in and leave my tip for geocaching. I would have to say the most important tip for geocaching would be to always take a buddy, because no matter whatever conditions you geocache in, you always have someone with you if you break a leg or if your car won't start or if your cell phone goes bad or if you're out in the middle of the woods. Sometimes, like, I find myself and someone else that I go ahead and I know where to go because of the GPS. I always find the perfect route back no matter how deep of in the woods I am. And also, of course, because I have a friend with me. So just wanted to leave my tip. Our name is Paul and Nicole.
All right, guys. That was our tips and tricks. So let's go ahead. I've got an Excel document that puts everyone in randomly, gives them random numbers. And I'm going to open it up right now, and we're going to go ahead and the person with the lowest number is going to be our winner. So let me see here. I got two people with number one, so I'm going to have to actually go ahead and open it again because Number one, I only got one coin to give away. So let's see. The lowest person right now. Again, I've got to rewrite this Excel script so I don't get doubles here because it's giving me some doubles. So let's see. Lowest person here is Jodester. Jodester, you have 2 weeks to get me your mailing address, and we will ship this coin out to you. And thanks again, everybody, for your tips and tricks. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to open up. We're going to continue talking a little bit about the tips and tricks that we got on the show today. And we're also going to open up our phone lines. If anyone else has tips and tricks for geocaching, just anything short, we'll go ahead and talk about those too. So the first thing I want to talk a little bit about is using your hubby. Mansu, she's talking about you. Do you find that this happens often, that she uses you?
Sometimes. It really depends. And this kind of goes back to last week's show. It depends on the height of how the cache is situated. You know, if it's one of those where it's sitting up in the fork in a tree, usually, yep, honey, can you get that? if it's something down on the ground and it's not your typical ammo can, it's maybe a very small Tupperware container, then it's off to me again, usually, to pick it up for. And also, like, if we're going in to places where we've got to abandon the chair, then I become basically an extra set of legs for her, not carrying her or anything, but there to provide her the balance that she needs to be able to get in to some of the caches that the chair can't get her into.
The next tip that we had is to use a wipe or a napkin. I don't so much think that us guys would think about doing this for the reasons that lady gave, but definitely if you're going to be caching with females, that's probably a good thing. I would have never thought of that as a geocaching tip and trick, but thanks for that tip and trick.
That one actually could come in good for other reasons, too. I know, especially when I went out to recover my caches that were toasted, get all that soot and everything on your hands. If I had had a wet wipe or something like that, I could have cleaned my hands up a lot better than I was able to. So
yeah.
You never know. That could come in handy for other uses than what she was suggesting.
That is true. I guess usually if you keep a yes, or if you have to do other excrementing, as Vast Chaz says, it would come in handy too. I usually with first aid and stuff, I guess usually there's sort of a wet wipe type of alcohol swab in there too. So if you keep those type of things in your backpack, that would definitely work well. The next tip and trick we had, and this is actually a really good one, because you can buy them cheaply at the thrift stores, but the golf clubs. And go ahead and cut the head of the golf club off. You've got a walking stick, and if you really wanted to, you could shape that into a point, and you could use that for cedoing and other stuff like that. I have a golf club from a thrift store, but I never thought of cutting the head off to make a hiking stick. Any other ideas or any other thoughts on that?
No, I will admit that was definitely quite ingenious on their part. You know, because it's definitely a lot better price than the walking sticks I've got. Mine cost me $10 a piece. You know. Yeah, they're collapsible, which does give mine an advantage, but those golf clubs are pretty sturdy, too, so that definitely is a good advantage with those. Definitely a better value than mine, price-wise.
Did you guys say that you picked yours up and they're collapsible, though?
Yes. Yeah, it's actually three pieces. You just loosen them up, and they'll collapse on down to about a foot and a half. Is the shortest length. So, one, they're adjustable. So with mine, I can adjust it from my height, or I can adjust it down to Jodester's height, or if we let one of the kids use one of the sticks. Also, the sticks that we use are spring-loaded, so when you're walking along, you don't have the impact of that thing hitting the ground. The tips on mine are also interchangeable. There is a very wide tip that can be put on the end of it, great for when you don't want it sinking into the ground, or you can take that completely off, and then you've got, just like on the bottom of a ski pole, a nice, not quite sharp tip, but it is very slender, and so it could pick up, be used for picking up some trash. In fact, we'd used them for the sea tow that we were at just a couple weeks ago for just that purpose. But very multi-purpose with the sticks that we've picked up. The handle's great, and it's even got the wrist strap on them, so you don't have to worry about accidentally dropping them.
Now, one of the things, and the other tips that we heard was, we need to remind ourselves to use our GPS properly. And I know that I always have that problem. I've always have where I'm like, I always say, I think I, you know, should be at ground zero, and wander around looking at the GPS, and I shouldn't, because I talk about it every other show about don't always rely on your GPS, but I always find myself going back to it, relying on the GPS completely, and that was definitely a good tip, especially for new listeners or new geocachers where they don't necessarily know that about, you know, not so much relying on your GPS because of the air level and stuff like that. And that goes back to also honing your geosense by not using the GPS so much. So I would say that's definitely a good tip too. And we also have GPS sonar. I don't have any experience using GPS sonar. Do you or any of the listeners that are live in our forum right now have any experience with GPS sonar and how that works?
Myself, no. Patrolic says he knows about it.
But so, like, if you want to dial in, and we'll get you on the line here, and we can talk a little bit about that while we move on to the next topic, and we'll come back to the GPS sonar. Take the last topic was take a buddy. That I would say is quite a huge tip for many different reasons. Not only just because of the things that he had mentioned as far as you know, if you break a leg or whatnot, but it's definitely important because I would say that definitely gives you a second set of eyes. I know that when I go to a caches, I have a certain like way that I look about things, that, you know, I look for certain specific things, but when I go with my wife, usually we can find it 10 times quicker because we both are looking, or probably just because she's a better geocacher than I am, but together we find it a lot quicker than when it's just by myself. I find that, you know, with two separate sets of eyes, it's just a lot easier to look, and two separate ways to come about it. Can you think of?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that. Definitely helps out with the finding. And as he was pointing out, the help, you know, you might wind up getting hurt to the point where you can't get out. And by at least having that caching buddy with you, they at least, hopefully both of you won't get knocked out at the same time. So they've at least got the mobility to get back and get help and bring them right to you. So definitely caching with a buddy is a good tip.
All right, we've got Pacholik on the line. So I got you unmuted. Tell us a little bit about GPS sonar and how it is. Is it easy? Is it something that you use a lot? So, like, are you there? All right. He dropped off again. If you want to go ahead and get us. Call us back. We will get you back on. If anyone else has any other tips or tricks Let's go ahead and call us right now, 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. I got Montu Ryder muted. I didn't mean to have him muted. Sorry, it's an interesting night here on TalkShoe. Anyways, any other tips and tricks? I'll just go ahead and unmute everybody that's on our phone line right now. Anybody else have any tips or tricks that you'd like to go ahead and put in our tips and tricks show tonight? Fast Chaz says, use Google Earth, and if you want to expand on that a little more, as far as what you mean, I know I use it for a lot of different things. I use it when I go out pre-caching, like if I look online and I can kind of see where it's at, where I kind of think it's going to be at. In fact, I used Google Earth just this week to direct my sister-in-law to find a cache. We had a travel bug out that needed to come back for my son's birthday, and my son's birthday is at the end of the month, and so I wanted to make sure that it didn't get too far away. So I saw it was near where she was at in West Lafayette, Indiana, and so I called her up and said, "Hey, Kim, I know you don't have a GPS, but this one looks really simple. Here's the map. Here's the way to go." And she found it without a GPS, and it was a simple cache. It wasn't too deep in the woods. But, in fact, it wasn't in the woods at all. But, it was not an LPC. But, she did find it. So, I use Google Earth a lot of times for going out and pre-planning my trip. I'm going to go ahead and unmute Fast Chaz. He's requesting to talk. So, Fast Chaz, welcome to the show.
Hey, welcome. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Can you hear me all right?
Yep, I can hear you good. So, how do you use Google Earth?
Well, I'll get the GPX, say there's a new cache that just came up, and I've already got all my other caches for the area loaded up. I'll have pocket queries sent to me once every couple of days, and it'll come in. I'll load them up on the GPS. But say there's another one that came up like 5 minutes ago. Oh, there's a chance for an FTF. I'll load it up on my Google Earth a lot quicker than I can send it to my GPSR. I can see where it is a lot easier, get an idea of where it is, and be able to make a little bit of a plan, a little heads up, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a good way to give you a heads up using Google Earth. Anybody else have any tips and tricks that you'd like to share with us tonight on the show? Go ahead and press a call in 724-444-7444. TalkCast ID is 7525. And if you have any other tips and tricks when this is over, you can go to our show notes and post a comment in the show notes. Show notes can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. So go ahead and hit that up when we're done here, and you can leave your tips there also just to share with our listeners. But if anyone else has any different ideas on how to on tips and tricks, go ahead and give us a call, 724-444-7444. TalkCast ID is 7525. Patrolik is back on the line. Let's see if we can get him this time. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, there we go. Got you this time.
Yeah, I was trying to use the Skype thing and it didn't work because it mutes the outgoing audio.
Oh.
So I had to call in through the phone, so that works better.
Gotcha. So tell us a little bit more about GPX Sonar.
GPX Sonar, yeah, it's gone through a couple of revisions, and the author's not around anymore. I think he was a college student. But it was really nice because it was native on the – what you could do is just take a GPX file, and you didn't have to convert or anything, and just sync it over to your Pocket PC. It only worked on the Pocket PC, but it had a lot of neat features where you could track travel bugs and everything else. And what it did was allowed you to actually see the cache page on the handheld, kind of like what they're doing with the overview with CacheMate does now, with a little description overview.
Okay.
But you had the native GPX file, so you didn't have to do any conversion. And then also, when you got back home, what you could do is this: when you plugged it back in with ActiveSync, it took all the caches, and you could log them into, like, GSAC. So it kept it. So you kept notes on there and everything else, and all that stuff got moved over. So it was a lot easier to use. and no conversion. You didn't have to use GSAC. It worked by itself without it.
Gotcha.
So, and I believe it also used, and I haven't tried that before too, was I didn't have Bluetooth on it. It also used, like CacheMate does with the Bluetooth GPSs, where you could also use it where you could, as you're going along with the GPX file, you could use it to navigate to the caches and then mark them when you found them as well.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for joining us on the show tonight. For those of you who haven't taken a look at our upcoming schedule, Patolik will actually be joining us next week as we talk about puzzle caches. So I look forward to that because I consider you a puzzle cache master. And so I'm looking forward to talking to you next week about puzzles.
Cool.
So, all right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Okay.
Also, we've had Geek Boy from Illinois, and he says that if he solves a puzzle, he puts an update in GSAC with the solution. And he does that, and so I'm assuming so when he goes and looks at that later on, if he doesn't get out to the puzzle cache right away, he remembers the puzzle, the solution. So that's always a good tip and trick too. I would say I'm going to go ahead and interject my tip and trick. I definitely I like using GSAC, and that's my tip and trick. It's more than just a tip and trick. I mean, that's a whole bundled thing. But I would say for GSAC, what I end up doing, and this is a tip and trick that I'm going to say, is especially if I'm out caching on like a caching run where I'm going to be doing a lot of caches like I did over the summer on the caching run in one day, what I like to do is put in the note field of GSAC, I put you know, my notes as far as what I, you know, my information that I want to put on the log page. And I also, there's a like auto-incremented number feature that you can put in GSAC and enable, so you can just click it and it adds to the next number. So like when we were finding our caches over the summer, like on the 28th of July when we hit our big run, the first cache I hit, I, you know, pushed it in so it had one, and then I next cache I had two. So later when I looked back on it, I went ahead and I could see what caches, what order we hit them in. So that was definitely helpful. And I don't use a PDA for my paperless. I go ahead and use just the GSAC. So I would say that is my tip and trick. So any other tips and tricks for the show tonight, go ahead and give us a call, 724-444-7444, TalkCast ID 7525. And if you're already on the line and you want to talk, go ahead and press the request to talk button at the top of the talk show client, and we'll get you on to the talk show tonight. So, Monty Ryder, do you have any other tips and tricks while we're waiting to see if anyone else has anything?
Well, I've been watching as everybody's been chatting here in the chat tonight. Eisenra, I had one that might have slipped past you. If you do paperless caching, get as many of the pass logs as possible onto your device. More information, the better, which definitely can be a good tip. Also can sometimes hurt you because sometimes we caches, we tend to have a little bit of fun. We might leave a bogus entry in the log, might give away something that's we going to lead somebody astray from actually finding the cache just for a little bit of fun. Sometimes that could work both ways.
That is true. And Pacholik also threw in a comment right there. He said that, you know, if there are updated coordinates in there in the logs, you'll get that and you'll be able to see that. Vaschaz says update your pocket queries for archived and inactive caches. I'm assuming you mean that, Vaschaz, so that when they come back online, you're going to have the most up to date information. Yeah, I go ahead and I also with me my pocket query that I run, I just keep loading that on top of my other, you know, I run 500 caches for my local area, you know, out to 500 miles, 500 caches, and so every time I update, I get updated logs. So that's definitely a good thing. Any other things, Monty Ryder?
No, not that I can think of. I think we've had a pretty good show tonight. Pretty good tips and tricks from all the listeners tonight.
I would definitely say that too. And if you guys are listening and you are listening to this not live, and you want to either put in some tips and tricks to us that we can maybe even still play on another show again in the future, because we always like having tips and tricks shows, go ahead and call us 206-350-3GPS. And what that'll do is that'll get you into our voicemail line. It's just a voicemail. Don't worry. You don't have to, you know, worry about me answering it. It's a voicemail, and we can leave a voicemail there, and we'll go ahead and play it, just like we did on tonight's show. So if you think of anything else when you're listening to this offline. So I would say, it's been definitely a good show tonight. We've had a lot of good tips and tricks, and we enjoy that. Like I said, join us again next week. We're going to be talking about, Pacholik, sorry, he interrupted me here before I got a chance to say that. But he said, always, always, always have extra batteries with you, because it doesn't matter how many times you mark your car and you go into the woods, if you don't have extra batteries and your GPS runs out of batteries, that waypoint for your car is not going to do you any good, and you won't be able to get back, or you'll have to find your way out manually. So definitely always have extra extra batteries that are good with you. So
yeah, have them on you.
Yeah, definitely not back in the car, because that won't do any good. And
yeah,
we
actually ran into that back when we first started our first class that we taught. We were out caching, and one of the GPS units ran dead, and I had to send one of the kids back to the campsite to pick up the spare batteries. I had spare batteries, but they were about half a mile away, so they had to go hiking back to camp to get them.
And another good thing, too, is I just saw this in our chat here. And for those of you who don't know, if you join us live, we have got a chat room that goes on, so people who are listening live also get a chat, and we can chat, and they can kind of leave comments and kind of shape how this podcast goes. But Geek Boy from Illinois says that for the, you know, not just for your GPSR to bring the batteries, bring it for the flashlight and the PDA and whatever else you have that has batteries in it. So you don't run out. Always bring extra batteries for everything that you have. Make sure you get that covered. Put it in your backpack. So what I was going to say is, next week, puzzle caches is what we're going to be talking about. And like I said, Pacholik is going to be joining us as he talks, because he's definitely found a lot of puzzle caches, and he's good at puzzle caches. Like I said, I consider him the puzzle cache master. So join us next week. Make sure you join us. We do this every week, 9:00 Eastern Standard Time, and you just go to geocachingpodcast.info, and you'll find all of our information there as far as how to join us live, or you can just go ahead and call 724-444-7444. And put it in our TalkCast ID 7525, and you can hit £1, and you're right in with us. So thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you next week. Go ahead, get up, go get your caches. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, everyone on the show this week. Thanks for joining us. Some of the music on the show today was provided by the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com.